The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
At that time, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman of that district came and called out, "Have pity on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But Jesus did not say a word in answer to her. Jesus' disciples came and asked him, "Send her away, for she keeps calling out after us." He said in reply, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But the woman came and did Jesus homage, saying, "Lord, help me." He said in reply, "It is not right to take the food of the children and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Please, Lord, for even the dogs eat the scraps that fall from the table of their masters." Then Jesus said to her in reply, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And the woman's daughter was healed from that hour. The Gospel of the Lord.
Good morning. We have a beautiful gospel reading this morning and a message that comes through loud and clear through all of the readings, and that is that God's salvation is not only to the Gentile people, but God's salvation is being opened up and offered to all the whole world. You know, God's salvation, not just to the Jews, but to the Gentiles included, all of us. I think oftentimes we take for granted our salvation. We take for granted the fact that we are invited to participate in the Eucharist, that we can come forward and receive Jesus' body, blood, soul, and divinity. We take for granted that it's always there for us and that it's our right, rather than to be grateful. And today, I think, as the first lesson from this Canaanite woman, I think, is maybe to renew our sense of gratitude, how lucky we are that we have a God who is so merciful that he invites us to participate. The Canaanites were seen by the Jewish people as among the most wicked among Gentile people. If we go back into the Old Testament, we'll read about all their wicked deeds, how evil they were. And it even mentions that the Canaanite people would sacrifice their own children and give them up to demons. And so here is this Canaanite woman, this great contrast. Here she comes, and she's begging Jesus for a healing of a demon that has been tormenting her daughter. And at the first sight of it, it seems as if Jesus is not going to help her. He totally ignores her. And so by the end, we see that Jesus praises her and says how great her faith is. We see throughout the readings this image of salvation going beyond the people of Israel and indeed to the entire world. The first reading that we heard in Isaiah, I think we listened to it and it just kind of passes over our ears, but the Jewish people were very aware that they were God's chosen people, that their father was Abraham, and they were very proud of that. They were very aware that they were God's chosen people, and the Gentiles were not. They were dirty. If a Jewish person entered a Gentile's home, well, that was a bad thing, and that person had to go through a cleansing ritual to cleanse them of the spiritual filth that they may have picked up by being in a Gentile home. And so it's very surprising to read Isaiah say that a foreigner, a Gentile, will become a minister serving God. And if we were to read that in its Hebrew original language, some of the words may be translated differently. To say a minister serving the Lord in Hebrew, it could be translated to be a priest, that the Gentiles, among them would be chosen priests to serve the Lord, and their burnt offerings offered on the altar would be acceptable. We hear that at the end of Isaiah's prophecy. And Isaiah goes on to say, my house, the temple, will be a house of prayer for all people. Jesus quotes that line when he visits the temple, and he sees the money changers in what was called the court of the Gentiles. They had set up their money changing stations, making it difficult for people in that area to enter into any sort of prayer. And so Jesus chased them out, and he quotes Isaiah, my house is to become a house of prayer for all peoples, Gentile included. We hear in the responsorial psalm, you know, O God, all nations will praise you. And even St. Paul begins his letter today by saying he speaks to you, Gentiles. And so the church very clearly understands this Sunday, these readings, that we are to see that it was a big deal to say that this message of salvation goes out to all the nations, not just a chosen few. And so I think maybe we can reflect on our own hearts. Are we really grateful for that? Or do we take it for granted or think that it could never be lost, that it doesn't matter what I do with my life, that I can do whatever I want, that this is somehow presupposed that this grace will always be available to me? We see the desperation of this Canaanite woman. This woman, she won't leave Jesus alone. Even he's ignoring her. Even if he insults her, she continues to come after Jesus. Do we have that kind of passion for our faith? Or are we ready to walk away from it the moment something tickles our fancy? We read every Sunday in the preface, it is right and just to give you thanks and praise always and everywhere. Do we really believe that? Do we treat God's sacraments like that? Do I prefer contraception to a relationship with God that is holy and good? Do I prefer a sinful relationship than to say I desperately need God in my life? Do I prefer anything worldly that would separate me from God? Or do I take it for granted always that it's to be given? You know, I think we don't understand when the church uses the word excommunication. That it's never done in a hurtful way. When the church says that somebody is excommunicated, it's never done as like a punishment, you know, we're going to send you to hell and we're going to excommunicate you. It's always done in mercy and love, with the hope that finally the person will get it, that you're choosing something other than God. You're choosing to be cut off from the sacrament of Holy Communion, which is what it means to be excommunicated. You can no longer receive the Eucharist, when the very word Eucharist means thanksgiving. And so the first thing I want to ask you is, you know, am I grateful for the fact that Jesus is offering me his friendship, his salvation, his mercy, his forgiveness? Now, we may be stuck in sin, and maybe we're trying to get out of it. That's what the sacrament of reconciliation is for, so don't despair. But the great problem would be is if I thought it was fine. If I thought that my sins didn't matter, that I could do whatever I want and have my cake and eat it as well. Secondly, we see in this Canaanite woman the great example of how we are called to persevere. We all suffer different things in life. And sometimes at the first sign of suffering, we want to blame God for everything, right? Oh, God must not love me. God must not be real. If God were all good, loving, God was all powerful, I wouldn't have to deal with this. And so at the first sign that we don't get our way, how often we stop going to church or stop praying or run away from God. Whereas we see in this Canaanite woman, she has nowhere else to run. And no matter how disappointed she may be, she continues to come after Jesus with a great sense of expectation. The first thing she encounters is the silent treatment. Anybody ever get that? Your wife ever give you the silent, or your husband ever give you the silent treatment? Or maybe it's a good friend. What a terrible feeling it is to have somebody ignore you. You know, not acknowledge what you're saying, not acknowledge your pain or your sense of hurt or whatever it is. That silent treatment sometimes is very difficult to deal with. And sometimes you might say, well, all right, then forget you. And you lose the relationship. This woman is giving he doesn't answer her, not even a word. He's ignoring her. And it's a woman in need. You can imagine the expectation of all the crowds of people that have gathered around Jesus. Here's a woman, and she's desperate. What is he going to do with her? You know, what is Jesus' response to her going to be? And he makes this tension even more by not sending her away, by just ignoring her. And she continues. She persists. She's giving Jesus all sorts of titles. You know, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. It's interesting she says, have mercy on me. She's asking for her daughter. And so she's suffering the condition of her daughter. Sometimes somebody who has a mental illness, maybe they're not suffering themselves because they don't realize what's happening to them, but the family suffers more because they see what's happening and they understand. And so here she is asking Jesus, have mercy on me. And she finally tells him about her daughter, that her daughter is tormented by this demon. And so Jesus' first response is to ignore her. And I love the way that John Chrysostom, early church father, bishop of Constantinople, he says that Jesus isn't trying to be cruel to her, but rather he's allowing this situation to become a teaching moment for you, for me, that we be persevering in our faith, that we see that through perseverance is somehow how we receive those things that we're praying to God for. And so finally Jesus answers, but only when the disciples have had enough of her and they tell Jesus, you know, send her away. She's a nuisance. She's making a lot of noise. Everybody is looking at her. And finally Jesus says, it's to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. A discouraging word to the woman. She's not of the house of Israel. She's a Gentile. Not only is she a Gentile, she's a Canaanite and the ancestral enemy of the Jews. And so even with that discouragement, she continues to do him homage. Lord, help me, help me, help me. We see the desperation. You know, we should be desperate like that for God. And then finally, Jesus says to her, it's not right to take the food that was meant to be given to the children, take it out of the hand of the child and give it to the dog instead. And some people would see this as a very cruel thing that Jesus is doing, but we should always remember things that are said like this depends on the way in which it was spoken. Perhaps Jesus spoke it with a twinkle in his eye, knowing that she was going to have this rebuttal, or inviting the rebuttal that she got. You know, we use words like that sometimes for our best friends. You know, you might call your best friend, ah, you little dirty rat. And they're not offended, they laugh. And so it depends the way in which Jesus spoke this. And so I don't think we should impart that Jesus was being unnecessarily cruel to her, but rather he's drawing the faith out of her. And then she recognizes that he's given me an in, because he's not saying that a dog can't have the food of the child. Sometimes it comes in the form of leftovers. Sometimes it comes in the form of what falls accidentally from the master's table. I have a dog, most of you know Hope, and she's always waiting at the foot of the table for something to fall off of the table. And so she responds, her humility is amazing. Jesus refers to the Israelites as sheep, then he refers to them as children. She refers to them as the masters of the dogs, the master. So she refers to the master, and she doesn't argue. She even accepts the title of a dog. She says, even the dogs receive what falls from the master's table. And so she's recognizing that Jesus has given her an in, because this indeed happens. And then what happens? Jesus lights up. Oh, woman, great is your faith. He puts her up, lifts her up now, and then he gives her what she wishes. And it says instantly, her daughter was healed of this demonic affliction. And so let us hear in this gospel passage an encouragement not to give up when things don't go your way, but to continue to ask God for what you want and to persevere in your prayer. You know, there's different ways that God answers our prayers. Sometimes God may say no if what we ask for is not good for our salvation. Sometimes God may ask us to wait so that he can maybe draw more faith out of us. And finally, the last point I want to make is the reality to demons. That there was a woman whose daughter was tormented by a demon. And I think in our modern world, we kind of say, oh, there's no such thing as demon. Whatever was there, it was all mental illness, or it was, you know, epilepsy, or it was something else. But we don't recognize that, yeah, Jesus believed that there were demons. And the Bible says that the devil prowls like a roaring lion looking for souls to devour. And if I were the devil, I would want to keep my identity secret and make you think that it was all something else, that it's a mental illness. If I could do that, then you would never seek the real cure that you need, which is Jesus. So often we're ready to go to the doctor first, or we're ready to go to the self-help book first, rather than to say, I need to take this to Jesus. I'm not saying that doctors are bad or that we shouldn't seek them out, but oftentimes we treat that as if that's the best thing, rather than the best thing being to bring them to Jesus. And so let us acknowledge that demons are real, and if we experience them in their different forms, maybe it's just their temptations. We think of it just as ourselves, but the demons can tempt you just as they tempted Adam and Eve. And the scriptures say, rebuke the devil, resist him, and he will fly from you. And so let us go to Jesus for that great healing that we need. So three things. Let's be grateful for the gift of salvation that Jesus offers to us, unworthy as we are. Let us be persevering in our faith and our prayers, even when we don't get what we want. And let us bring everything to Jesus. Amen.